Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Energy Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Nigam from Motilal Oswal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everybody. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, I welcome you all to the conference call of JSW Energy to discuss the first quarter FY25 results. We have with us the leadership team from the company, including Mr. Sharad Mahendra, Joint MD and CEO, Mr. Pritesh Vinay, Director of Finance and CFO, and Mr. Vikas Chaudhary, Head of Investor Relations and Treasury. And now, without any further delay, I will hand over the call to Mr. Mahendra for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call. The past quarter has been exceptional for the power sector and especially for JSW Energy. The sector dynamics are evolving fast, presenting both new opportunities and challenges. As we know that with our nation's rapid growth, the GDP is estimated to have increased by 8.2% in FY24, driven by robust manufacturing and industrial activities. Notably, India's manufacturing sector grew by 9.9% in FY24, highlighting the critical role of the power sector in supporting increased economic activities. Before we dive into our quarterly performance, I would like to provide an overview of the current power demand landscape. The power demand for the country grew at an impressive rate of 7.5% in fiscal 24 on the back of resilient economic activities in the country. In this quarter, we have seen acceleration in the power demand growth with a year-on-year increase of a strong 11% even on a higher base of last year. The quarter also witnessed record peak demand of 250 gigawatt on 30th of May this year. In line with the power demand growth, the country's generation increased 11% year-on-year. All India thermal PLFs also have improved to 76.4% in the quarter as compared to 70% in the corresponding quarter last year. As the demand growth continues, I believe the impetus is more on capacity additions, delivering sustainable and reliable power. Talking about the power capacity in the country, the total installed capacity has reached 446 gigawatt. In this quarter, the net capacity addition stands at 4.2 gigawatt post-retirement of 200 megawatt of thermal capacity. This is compared to 5.8 gigawatt of net capacity addition in quarter 1 of FY24. Renewable energy capacity addition in the quarter has been 4.4 gigawatt. Solar dominated this capacity addition of 3.7 gigawatt, while wind capacity addition was close to 800 megawatt during the quarter. It is expected that India will add 30 to 35 gigawatt of RE capacity in the current year and is targeting approximately 15 gigawatts of thermal capacity addition in the current year. With the nation aiming for annual RE bids of 50 gigawatts, bidding activity has surged significantly, as observed in the last fiscal. Notably, the total installed capacity addition in FY24 is 26 gigawatts, of which 18.5 gigawatt was RE capacity as compared to the target 50 gigawatt per annum. This indicates a substantial increase in growth opportunities. The Government of India has set a trajectory to increase renewable energy consumption via RPO obligation. From current level of 22%, this is set to increase to 30% in FY25 and 43% by 2030. The current share of RE in the grid is 13% of the total power generation in energy terms. Taking both into account, there is an increasing need of RE generation to be complemented with storage. This is getting reflected as now we are seeing incremental bids for hybrid power and also the FDRE solutions. Unlike plain vanilla RE generation, FDRE and hybrid projects offer a comprehensive solution tailored to the needs of DISCOMs or states. Therefore, we are witnessing two things in the bidding. One, the quantum of option has increased and is higher than 50 gigawatts per annum. And two, the urgent requirement of these bespoke solutions. This addressable energy we see as a huge opportunity for us. Now coming to the merchant markets, we have seen a strong demand growth. This is owing to hot weather conditions which led to unprecedented increase in the country's energy consumption. Despite the surge in merchant volumes by approximately 17% year on year, the average merchant tariff experienced a slight increase year on year, which indicates a strong demand environment. The day-ahead market prices in quarter 1 of current fiscal stands at 5.27 rupees as compared to 5.17 rupees in last year quarter 1. The coal prices witnessed year-on-year fall while strengthening on a sequential basis. If we talk of a particular index like API4, it stood at $108 in quarter 1 of FY25 as compared to $116 last fiscal, a decline of 7%. As we speak, API4 coal prices currently are ruling at around $805 per ton. Now coming to JSW Energy's performance in the quarter gone by, we would like to inform that we have added 291 megawatts of capacity in the quarter, which is entirely wind. Of this, 45 megawatts was through completion of an acquisition and balance 246 megawatts was new greenfield capacity, which is almost one-third of the new wind capacity added by country in quarter one of current year. When coming to our net generation, the generation during the quarter increased by 18% year-on-year to 7.9 billion units, driven by a 44% increase in renewable energy generation and strong thermal performance. Notably, our hydro generation surged by 61% year-on-year, which is the highest generation for the quarter one in last 5 years. This is primarily due to improved hydrology. For the country, the hydro generation was largely flat in quarter one of FY25. However, the hydro plants in the Satluj River Basin, where our Karcham 1, 2 and Baspa plants are located, have registered an average of 38% year-on-year increase in the generation. The wind generation grew by 40% year-on-year due to capacity additions and around 4% point improvement in machine availability during this quarter. Coming to thermal, the net generation increased by 4% year-on-year, driven by higher generation at our Ratnagiri plant and also the contribution from our Utkal Unit 1 operation, which performed well but were impacted by some teething issues during the quarter, which is a normal thing during the initial commissioning of the unit. But the unit has now stabilized from July onwards. For Unit 2 of Utkal, I am pleased to share that we have completed the steam blowing and the boiler light-up activity. We expect synchronization of Unit 2 during the current quarter. To tell you more on our under-construction projects, we are making good progress on our Sekhi wind project set for completion in the current fiscal. Total under construction wind capacity is 1.7 gigawatts. For the group captive wind projects, we have installed 103 megawatts in quarter 1, out of the total 737 megawatts work which is under process. At our Kuteher project site, there was a severe landslide, as we all are aware, in April 2024, washing away the total excess roads, which impacted project activity. Work has now resumed after restoration of road infrastructure, and we have completed boxing of Unit 1 out of the 3 units, and all 3 units are expected to be commissioned in the current year only. then you can see the details of the under construction projects on slide 11. In the past 6 months, we have built a robust pipeline of projects with a cumulative capacity of 5.7 gigawatt. With this, our total locked-in capacity is 15.5 gigawatt. I am pleased to announce that we have already signed PPAs for 2 gigawatt of these projects. Additionally, we have received necessary board approvals and are very close to signing PPAs of 1.3 gigawatt of RE projects, including storage, for our JSW group companies for captive use. This is part of 6.2 gigawatt of MOU which we have signed with our group, JSW group, last year towards the capacity additions in next few years. With this total pipeline capacity, this PPA will become 3.3 gigawatt. The projects where we have signed PPAs are expected to be commissioned within the next 18 to 24 months. You can see the details of the pipeline projects on slide 12. As part of our company's energy products and service offerings, we are constructing Asia's largest battery energy storage system with 1 gigawatt hour capacity, which is tied up with SECI. PPA for 250 megawatt is signed and the other part should be get signed very soon. As we have communicated earlier, this project is scheduled for commissioning before June 25. Additionally, we are building a green hydrogen plant for producing green hydrogen for green steel making by our group company. Like we said earlier, it's a pilot project for us with a capacity of 3,800 tons per annum of green hydrogen and 30,000 tons per annum of green oxygen. This is the largest green hydrogen project in India which is under construction. Construction of this project has commenced at our Vijayanagar site in Karnataka, and we will be commissioning this plant before March 25. Moving to the financial performance of the company, during the quarter we reported 80% year-on-year increase in profit after tax at 522 crores. This was on the back of a strong EBITDA growth of 21% year-on-year. We continue to maintain healthy balance sheet and receivables. Our net debt to EBITDA, excluding CWIP debt, stands at 2.2. It remains well below our guided range of sustainable normalized net debt to EBITDA of 3.5 to 4. We are making significant progress towards our target of achieving 10 gigawatt capacity by the end of current financial year and well on track to achieve 20 gigawatt capacity well before 2030. With our strong foundation and fundamentals, I am confident that JSW Energy is well positioned to excel in the coming quarter and take advantage of the immense opportunities which have now come up with the changed landscape. Thank you, friends. Now I will hand over to Mr. Pritesh Vinay, who will provide more details on our financial performance.
Thank you, Sharad. A very good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us on the first quarter results earnings call. Sharad has already covered most of the things, but maybe I'll just take a few minutes. If you look at EBITDA, the EBITDA for the quarter stood at about 1580 crores. This was up 21% YOY. If you look at slide 8 of the presentation, that gives the EBITDA bridge. But essentially, the thermal side, we gained 90 crores additional EBITDA YOY. This is largely due to the incremental contribution from Unit 1 of Envara. And on the renewable side, the EBITDA grew by over 110 crores YOY. With the addition of new organic RE capacities as well as incremental EBITDA generation from hydro due to better hydrology. The other income was also up YOY due to treasury gains and some LTS payments that we received during the quarter. Balance sheet, Sharad has already touched about, continuously very healthy. If you look at slide number 10 of the presentation, this gives the net debt bridge. So sequentially, quarter on quarter, if you see, the net debt has come down by about 3,300 crores. and a large part of it, this has to do with the additional liquidity with the 5,000 crore QIP capital raise that we did in the month of April. So we ended the quarter with a cash balance of over 6,100 crore. Ratios continue to be healthy. If you look at slide number 13, you know, the headline leverage ratio on a net debt to TTM EBITDA is about 3.8 times. But if you look at the sustainable normalized net debt to EBITDA by stripping off the debt which is sitting on capital work in progress, the underlying net debt to EBITDA stands at 2.2 times, which is pretty healthy. The weighted average cost of debt moved up marginally quarter on quarter, and at the end of June stood at 8.75%. Receivable trends continue to be very healthy, and at the end of June, in terms of day sales outstanding, the overall receivables stood at a very healthy 65 days. And we've seen continuous improvement across each of our businesses across locations. With that, maybe I'll just stop here and we can open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. My compliments on a strong bottom line performance as well as the build-up in the pipeline. The first question is, for the pipeline projects of 5.65 gigawatts, for the ones where PPA has not been signed, I mean, what is the general expectation by when do you expect to close PPA signing for these projects? And realistically, in FY27, what portion of this capacity could get commissioned? That's my first question.
Okay. When like against the bids which we have won, as I told them that we have signed PPAs for 2 gigawatt and the rest all, agencies who have conducted the bid are in touch with the buyers, different DISCOMs, different states, which normally takes a due course of time. And we expect to very soon, this activity has already gathered pace, and very soon we expect that these PPAs will get certified and will be signed. Giving the exact timeline may be a challenge, but we expect, as we say normal, it takes anything between 30 to 60 days, 70 days is the timeline normally which has been seen. And we expect that very soon these PPAs further will be signed. And by FY27, as you say, that as I have said, that whatever PPAs are signed, the completion from the PPA signing date is normally 18 to 24 months, depending on when we sign the PPA. Based on that, those timelines definitely will be met and the projects will be executed accordingly. This is over and above that, whatever the captive requirements are there, keeping in mind whether it is solar, whether it is wind, within the same timelines of 18 to 24 months, those capacities also will get added.
So, and this could also include signing PPA with JSW Steel for the group captive capacity.
Yes, exactly. This will be over and above 2, which is 1.3 gigawatt, which we expect to be signed very soon.
My second question is that, at the evolving, with the battery prices evolving quite rapidly, and we have seen standalone PSS, GVN, and pit discovery. How do you foresee the load following FDRE rates settling down in coming quarters? We have seen the ZP2 FDRE rates that JSW has on a portion. Yesterday we saw, or day before yesterday we saw that solar plus single cycle battery storage. Could you please, give a comment on.
The exact number definitely depends on what kind of requirement. As you said, day before yesterday was a different solution which was there, which is a mix of solar plus battery energy storage, and taking care of only one discharge during the evening peak. So that it depends on how the project is designed, what is the requirement, and how much of energy is to be met. It depends. So the giving an exact tariff for anything, like someone wants a 80% power, 80% in terms of energy term, will have a different product design. But yes, as you have been seeing, it ranges from like day before yesterday with a single discharge in solar at about maybe 3.42 or whatever the tariff which has been discovered is a reasonable tariff. And just I would like to reiterate here, for us, the tariff is our benchmark returns whenever, wherever we are getting and we are meeting our benchmark returns. That is where only the tariff we accept and go for the winning the bid. Not just for the sake of winning the bid. So we are very, very sure about what is our benchmark returns, whether we are getting or not. So tariff, whatever being discovered, and depending on what kind of product mix which is required in terms of the storage and solar, or whether it is FDRE, which is solar, wind and storage. So it depends on the product design rather than giving a one straight number which is possible in a plain vanilla solar or plain vanilla wind. Here it depends on what is the product which is required.
Just one follow-up on this is that, let us say the SECI FDRE 2 rate of 5.59 or thereabouts, which was discovered in March. If the same bid were to happen today, have battery prices come down from there also, or has the equipment price corrected so that you discover a price which is say sub 5 rupees for the same tender, 3-4 months from the line.
Very good question. I think with the what we are seeing, the moderation in the battery prices coming down, the cell prices, I think the same solution we feel that can be provided in the range of maybe anything between 4.6 to 4.7, 4.8 rupees also.
Wow.
Sumit, if I can also come in here, the challenge in kind of crystal balling something like this, and a very important element that we have so far not touched upon, is that relative competitive intensity and what underlying returns is anybody trying to solve for, So what is the effective project cost based on the negotiation capability that any individual developer can have? And what are the returns, hurdle rates of returns, that one is solving for? So when you do an overlay of this, then it becomes difficult to kind of extrapolate where do you think something like this can normalize. Because at different points of time in the market, for strategic reasons, different people could be driven by various motivations, right? So there could be somebody who's trying to have a tick in the box for multiple strategies for some other reasons. There could be somebody who's building a pipeline for a potential capital raise. So it becomes challenging in that way to extrapolate, right?
This last question, presentation mentioned that in less than a year now you'll have your 1 gigawatt hour BESS project as well as the green hydrogen project operational. Could you give some color on where you have ordered the battery, the electrolyzer, if something can be shared for better understanding and the project cost?
See, as I told you, Smith, that when we say that when we design this and whatever it is, that our project cost and other things are secondary. For us, it is we have to ensure that I am getting my desired returns, which is a mid-teen. In this case, yes, with the moderation in the prices of the equipment, we are quite confident that it will be maybe high teen returns which we are going to get on these projects. So rather than what is the project cost, it is important that what returns I am getting, and I am absolutely confident that we will be getting the returns higher than what we expected when we planned these projects.
Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Sumit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is this classification. Are you running the Ratnagiri Unit 1 on a case-on basis? Is that right?
Yes. That's right, Mohit.
Yes. Second question is, we understand the number of PPAs that is floated by few state DISCOM for the coal-based power plants. Do you think that we're going to start commence some work on a new power plant, or we can tie up the Envara to look at the Envara in a long-term PPA?
See, Mohit, definitely now states have again started looking for the PPAs for Envara. Today, the advantage with us being close to almost a pit-based plant and the sufficient coal availability which is there, and our the overall our fuel cost is very, very competitive and low, we see that right now the opportunity in merchant market is significant, which may not be, maybe I will say, a very for a long term. But we see next 1 or 2 years, 3 years, till the time sufficient thermal capacities get added. And the way I have said in my opening remarks, of the way the demand growth, which is there, much more than what everyone has been anticipating, we see this as a good opportunity for us in near term. So right now we will be continuing in the merchant market. But yes, the landscape and what the Government of India also has announced to meet the growing demand, the new capacity additions in thermal, which is in excess of 80 gigawatts, which is required by 2032. As and when the opportunity comes and the state comes, we will be definitely looking towards this opportunity going forward also for adding further capacities in thermal space.
Anything in near term or medium term, you think in next 1 year you can start a new power plant or commission of new construction?
No, that will not be. It takes its own due course of time in setting up a new thermal power plant. That time definitely will be there, but that we will be going for any significant investment based on if we have the PPAs in hand.
Understood. My last question is, what is the portfolio of RE, where we are L1 and where the PPA or the CLOA has not been issued?
So, Mohit, if you can look at slide number 12 of the presentation, that should help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and
Your line is sounding a bit muffled. Maybe you can use the headset mode in case.
Sure, is it better now?
Much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question belongs to the underperformance across the Vijayanagar station and also the low PLF across the Barmer, which still hangs around in the range of 66-67% out here. So throw some light on the reasoning behind the same.
So, Anuj, you know, we've also earlier tried to explain that if you look at Vijayanagar for the station out of 860 megawatts, we have only about 310 odd megawatts which is tied under PPAs, right? So the balance is open for sale in the merchant markets, and that is an opportunistic trading that has to be done depending on where the dark spreads are, right? And Vijayanagar plant, because it is inland, the fuel cost as compared to Ratnagiri is going to be higher because of the inland transportation cost. So from time to time, based on unit economics, the team will go ahead and book for trades in the short term market, and hence you're always going to see variability in the PLF of the variability of the bigger application, right? As far as the Barmer plant is concerned, in the first quarter we had some planned outages of some of the units, all of which have got completed. If you look at the CEA data for the current month, for example, it's running at a very high PLF. So the PLF for the first quarter is lower due to planned outages.
Okay. So this was a planned outage, so would there be any under recovery for Q1 which was booked for Bahamas?
So the recovery or under recovery is actually is estimated on an annual basis. So yes, for the quarter there is going to be an under recovery, but if we meet up the deemed PLF numbers during the course of the year, there will be an makeup for that towards the back end of the year. Yeah, that's how
okay. Fair enough. And lastly, on the Vijayanagar again, initially we had thought that this project may operate under Section 11. So, but again, as you mentioned about, depends upon the unit economics and the opportunity. So the Section 11 kind of a thing.
You're right. Section 11 was there till only, I think, end of June. End of May. 30th May. So for a month of April and May, there was Section 11. Yeah. But I think, yeah, it's not on Section 11 anymore.
Okay, fair point. Thanks for your opportunity.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chetan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So my first question is a follow-up on the Section 11 thing. So do you expect Section 11 to get extended by the government?
No, so the thing is that it is first and foremost very difficult to forecast or estimate government action going forward because put yourself in the government shoes, I believe the underlying drivers for that decision are going to be their perceived demand-supply gap, right? So while on the one hand demand growth has been pretty strong, but we are off the peak season demand of summers and monsoons are in, and you have additional sources of supply like hydro, the wind season is about to kick in. So I'd be surprised if anybody is estimating a demand supply mismatch in the next couple of months. But who knows, for the second half of the year post monsoon, say October to March period, which is a peak demand period, based on the estimated load curve and the supply from various sources, at the right time the government might take that call. But I mean, there is typically no heads up for these kind of situations.
Understood. So my next question is, what type of realizations and input costs are you seeing in Bharat and Vijayanagar plants?
So, what will probably help you understand is that, we will not be disclosing, station-wise unit cost details, but just it's also important to help you think about these things, right? So, for example, let's take one by one. Let's take in Bharat. In Bharat, we said, because we don't have a PPA, so there is no SSA. So, the only source of coal is through the auction route, right? Now it is either the spot the auctions or through the Shakti auction schemes, under the Ministry of Power. And there we, from time to time participate, and we've guided in the past that, we have looked at average costs, of between, say, 2.75 to 3 rupees, on an average for in Bharat. Imported coal-based stations, we source everything from the seaborne markets, so you see how the API 4 indices are moving, and then you will be able to make a good estimate for both Ratnagiri. I also said in a response to an earlier question that Vijayanagar is inland, so there's an additional inland transportation cost, so there will be a higher spread between Ratnagiri to Vijayanagar.
Understood. Just one last question, sir, on the merchant capacity. Sir, is the demand more in the merchant capacity in the non-solar hours or in solar hours? Like, what type of PLF does Canadian and Indbharat operate in a non-solar hour?
See, Indbharat Kishan, I'd just like to tell that definitely, as we are seeing, that the demand during the daytime is definitely very good. But it is due to a large availability of solar during the daytime, the thermal power is not there. But in our case, if you see how we have moved this, that we have tied up our capacities on an RTC basis with various discoms in short term, maybe 3 months period or 4 months period. So we are insulated that what is happening during the daytime at Indmarath, and we have tied up our power on an RTC basis for a 3 month period. That is how we have moved.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Din, you have any other follow-up questions?
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Vishal Periwal from Antique Limited. Please go ahead. To interrupt, Mr. Periwal, we are not able to hear you. May we request you use the handset mode, please?
Yes, sorry. Is this better now?
Much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Sir, on your project capacity addition, the slide number 12, which gives some brief on it. In terms of FY26 addition, is it fair to say the 2.6 gigawatt PPA, which is already signed, that will at least see a commissioning?
Yes, as I told you, that all solar projects which are there, wherein the timelines are around, say, 18 months, 18 to 24 months, that I think within the timelines we will be adding that, yes. But yes, as you have said, we are sure that this capacity addition will be there during that time period.
Okay. And then in terms of our addition, from 25 to 30, FY30, taking from 10 gigawatts to 20 gigawatts, is there any midterm target also for FY27 or FY28 for us?
No, Vishal, as I told in my statement also, that we are confident that we have definitely about a year and a half back, when we said that 10 gigawatts by FY25, which was a phase 1, and 20 gigawatts by FY30. But with the changed landscape and the opportunities which have come up, and the amount of pipeline which we have in hand now, we are confident that this 20 gigawatts will be achieved earlier, significantly earlier than FY30, and we are evaluating that what will be the number. We are, that is a work in progress with the opportunities, and as I said, that that our returns, what we have benchmarked, are protected, and the opportunities which are going to be there in the bidding space. So FY30 there will be definitely a different number, but this 20 gigawatt will be happening significantly earlier. That I will maintain.
Sure. And one last thing from my side. In terms of our CapEx, we did mention in the previous call, 15,000 odd crore, we'll be doing it in FY25. Any number that we are targeting for 26 or which is still open?
It's a bit premature now, Vishal, but because one quarter of the new year has finished, and you are aware that there are more and more bids that are lined up, for the remaining period. So I think for FY26, it will be a bit premature. Maybe towards the end of this year will be the right time to give the guidance for the following year.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thanks, sir, for answering the question. I'll come back and ask. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we take the last question, please, operator?
Sure. The follow-up question is on the line of Ketan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity for follow-up. So, my last question is, sir, are we facing or are we expected to face any transmission evacuation capacity problem in the under-construction wind project?
No, under-construction wind project, all capacities in terms of transmission are tied up with the all projects which are under construction.
Understood. And also, are you seeing any transmission supply chain tightness in substations or transformers?
No, see, definitely everything has been lined up. Of course, with the kind of bidding space, which is now the bidding quantum which is increasing, going forward, definitely, this is going to be one area But we have already lined up knowing that what is going to be my FY25, FY26, FY27. We are already taking care of the entire supply chain, not only the transformers, but in terms of execution or any other aspect in terms of completing the project well in time.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Sure. Thank you everyone for joining today's call. And as I have told you, I have covered most of the points. But yes, my IR team is there in case there is any other follow-up questions later or any other information required. We request you to kindly write to our IR team. We will definitely be responding on that. Thank you very much, Bansuji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of JSW Energy, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.